chapter 8. If you'll go there, chapter 8, verses 23 through 27. Amen. And like I said, it's just good to see everybody here. God bless you. We do love you. We'll try to preach if God will help us. Amen. Feel some things on my heart. And I've got more messages than we have time to preach. I'm telling you, I had so many messages this week. I've been wanting to preach things, but it's not about what I want to preach. Amen. What does God want for the church? And that is what is so important. Amen. I don't want to just talk about God. I believe that we've got to talk for God. Amen. I believe not only should a message be timeless, I also believe that a message should be timely as well. Amen. And the Holy Ghost knows all timing. And the book of Matthew, chapter 8, verses 23 through 27. And familiar reading with you. And I'm praying about starting a series on this. And you know how when I start a series, I may preach one now and another month up the road. Amen. But about lessons from the Sea of Galilee. Amen. Lessons from the Sea of Galilee. It's amazing how God uses so many different things to teach us lessons. Amen. I remember several times in my life that out of things, inanimate objects, and God say, you know how you do this? Yeah, you need to apply that to your life because I want to do the same thing. Amen. Just like in Proverbs, what did old Solomon say? He said, have you considered the ant? Could you imagine where that come from? Maybe old Solomon sitting there and an ant comes crawling by and God said, won't you look at that ant there, Solomon? Amen. You ought to take a lesson from them. Amen. Well, in this today, it's amazing that God has given us lessons from loaves and fishes. And even at times when Jesus would teach, there'd be a child in His midst. And He'd take that child, He'd set that child on His lap. And He said, listen here, disciples, grown men. He said, won't you take a lesson from this child right here? Amen. Won't you have faith like a child? But today I want to look at this, and it's amazing how God uses things to teach us lessons, but I want to look at this and the miracles at the Sea of Galilee and how Jesus used that sea there, which is really a lake when you begin to study it, how He used that sea there four different times in the Bible to teach the disciples four different lessons. Amen. Four different times, four different occasions. And we know that Jesus calms the storm as the first lesson. Then we know that Jesus walks on the water. And we know about the miraculous catch of fishes. And then we know there is a second miraculous catch of fishes. And every one of those times that Jesus did something, He taught them disciples lessons that still today can apply to our lives in Abundant Life Tabernacle this morning. Amen. So, Matthew chapter 8, verse 23 says this, and when He was entered into a ship, His disciples followed Him. And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with waves. But what was He doing? He was what? Asleep. Amen. He was asleep. And His disciples came to Him and awoke Him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. And He saith unto them, why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith? Then He arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a what? A great calm. I want you to keep those things in mind. But the men marveled, saying, what manner of man is this? Notice this. What manner of man is this? That even the winds and the sea obey Him. Now, you've got to get this today as we're about to preach this. And if you'll help me just for a few moments. This same story is mentioned in Mark and Luke as well. So three different times we have this beautiful story of Jesus and the disciples of being in a storm. Jesus asleep in the boat. And it's amazing when you look at every one of those perspectives in the Synoptic Gospels, you get a different glimpse and a different angle of what happened here. So what this is today, this is a collective study on what Jesus told His disciples by allowing them to go through this storm. Now hear me today, church, because some of you need to get the right perspective about the storm that you're in or the storms that you're going to face. My friend, I hear me today. today. You don't need to wait till you get into the middle of your storm to try to gain your perspective. I tell you, brothers and sisters, it helps when you have the right perspective when you get in your storm. Amen. We look at this today and must understand some things. There are two storms in the life of a believer. Now notice this. If you're a sinner here today, you're in a storm every day. You know what? And Jesus ain't even in the boat with you is the big part. Amen. Guess what today? But if you're a believer, there are two storms that you find yourself in the presence of God. I like what David said. He said, "Oh, if I make my bed in hell, Lord, Thou art there. If I soar to the heavens, Lord, Thou art there." So brothers and sisters, hear me today. If you get out the will of God, you can buy yourself a one-way ticket to wherever you think to go to get away from Him. But I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, the hounds of heaven will find you no matter if you're here or if you're there, if you're shopping or if you're in your bedroom. The hounds of heaven will find you. So the story of Jonah, we're not going to deal with that. But there are storms of correction in our lives when we go through a battle or a storm. And in that, God is fine-tuning your mind. He's teaching you that must be published in the minds of our children and our families. So we have storms of correction that we're not really going to deal with. But what I want to deal with is this today. Not storms of correction, but storms of perfection. Storms of perfection. We notice this story here of how when Jesus saw the great multitude about Him, you would know that this is the end. And in this great discourse, we know this, that in Matthew 5, 6, and 7, we had that great sermon on the Mount of Beatitudes. We know in chapter 8 now, He has performed miracles and people are spread abroad that Jesus is in the city and Jesus is in the region and He's doing miracles. But He says, as the multitudes begin to gather, I just picture as Jesus is there by that seashore and out there's a multitude of people. He looks at His disciples and it says, He gave a commandment to depart to the other side. And He entered into the boat and His disciples followed Him. So we notice this today, my brothers and sisters, that as they get into this boat, it seems like that this is the will of God. Jesus gave the commandment. Look, I want you to get in the boat. I want you to go to the other side. That is the will of God for the disciples at that moment. My brothers and sisters, some of us, we must understand this, that God is wanting to perfect some of us, but in order to perfect you in the level that He wants to, you've got to obey His commandment. You've got to get in the boat. You've got to understand He has an agenda. You've got to understand He has a will for your life. So here it is, my friend, as they get into this boat, it's the will of God. They're going to the other side. And notice what it says here. It says, "And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the boat was covered with waves." Now you must understand this, that here the Sea of Galilee is actually about, if I'm not mistaken, about 13 miles wide. It's well below sea level when you begin to study the terrain of that region. So here it is. They're in a small boat in the will of God in the middle of this lake traveling. And guess what? The Bible lets us know there's even other small boats that wanted to follow Him. So here it is. They're in this lake in the sea that is this lake. And you begin to study the terrain of the Sea of Galilee. It is amazing, my brothers and sisters. It's amazing when you study that terrain of how it is that that little lake can become almost like a pot of boiling water just in the matter of no time. You begin to study the mountains that are around it. And it says sometimes that wind would hit down in those ravines and all of a sudden there in the Sea of Galilee, it would become like white rapid water. It would begin to boil over as the waves begin to rise and the sea begin to just rock back and forth. And so we look at this condition and guess what, my brothers, we get this. Not only are they in the sea in the will of God, but they're in a storm in the will of God. Hear me. Not only are they in the sea in the will of God, but they're in the storm in the will of God. But let me drop another hint to you today. Not only are they in a storm, but we know that most likely by the setting of the story, it is dark and it is nighttime. Because it was late afternoon when He said, "Look, let's get in this boat." So they're in this boat, they're in the storm. Most likely it's nighttime, and there arose a great tempest. You study that word tempest there. It means a great quaking or a great shaking. The Greek word is used in the accounts of Mark and Luke in different. It means a whirlwind or a storm. And the indication of the text text is this, that look, all of a sudden there came a storm. All of a sudden. You know what? They didn't have Wavy TV 10 where they got somebody to tell them, look, there may be a storm coming today. There may be a storm coming. No, sir. They got up there. It was unexpected. I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, we still have unexpected storms in our life. It would be nice if somehow, thank God that the Holy Ghost does prepare us. But you're not always going to get a news flash on your phone before you get into a spiritual storm. It's not always going to be there. It may come on you in the middle of the night, just you didn't know it. It wasn't announced to you. And I believe somebody here may know what I'm preaching about. Amen. I've been in those storms before. Amen. I've been to the place before where I knew that, look, I knew I was in the will of God. I knew I was in the boat. Amen. I knew I was going to the other side. I wouldn't expect something to broadside us. I wouldn't expect the water to become chaos, but it did. I didn't ask for it. I didn't vote for it, but it was the will of God at that moment in our lives. So notice this today. It is a storm that is so big or so urgent or so ferocious. The fisherman has seen a lot of storms before, but if you get a fisherman to be nervous on water, you're doing something. I've been out in a boat with a few guys before. And look, I don't mind going swimming, but the ocean, in the middle of the ocean, ain't the place to do it. Hey, man, there's too many things I can't see. I don't like sharks. Hey, man, and I don't want to pet shark. And I don't want to pet a shark. Amen. I don't like them things. Amen. They're too big and they got, you know, big old teeth. And no waste. No, sir. Amen. But guess what? Here in this lake, I've been in boats before with men that were accommodated to the water. And guess what? I've had them chuckle at me and say, man, this ain't nothing. Amen. I've seen worse storms before. I bet Peter and these different ones and those boats, these disciples, no doubt they've seen. They know what the Sea of Galilee is. They've been out there before. They knew in the storms. They knew about the sudden raging storms. But this is a storm big enough. You got Peter saying, hey, folks, I know we've been doing this for a few years, but when I get back to shore, I'm going to retire. Amen. I can't handle this. This is bigger than what I've ever been in before. It's a storm. I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, even the most seasoned of Christians can find themselves in storms. But look, you know what they're saying? They're not doubting God's ability. There's not doubt. No, they know that Jesus is in the boat. But they're saying, man, them waves are bigger than they've been in a long time. Amen. I ain't never seen a storm like this. I ain't never felt winds like this, brothers. There'll be storms that maybe some of you have yet to face that are going to be bigger than you've ever faced before. Amen. Storms. It's in our lives. We must understand this. But notice this, the calmness of Jesus. There's a storm. It's the biggest one Peter's ever seen. And Jesus is asleep. Come on now. He didn't take a sleeping pill either. He's asleep. We look at this, it shows us two things. The humanity of Jesus. Amen. Don't you think all the miracles and things He did, you don't think it got a little bit exhausting? I'll tell you, I've been in some good services before where you felt God use you in the gifts. I'll tell you, when the Spirit leaves, you're drained. I've helped pray people through to the Holy Ghost before. I'll tell you one thing. I told my wife, I said, or whoever, I said, I'm going to find me a bed somewhere. And I'm asleep. I'm wore out. Amen. Helping people fight through, amen, the flesh. And fight through all those things to kind of press in and get through. Yeah, it'll wear you out doing ministry and being accessible as Jesus was. But my friend, I don't want to focus on the humanity of Jesus. We know that He was asleep. But I want you to focus on the confidence of Jesus. Amen. He knew who His Father was. He knew what the will of God was. And even in the middle of a storm, this speaks to us great things, that here He had a fearless confidence about His Father and whose care He was in. But I would today that we would have that same confidence that Jesus had. That in a storm, that in a battle, that in circumstances, that when the waves are white capped and we feel the winds are blowing, that we would not get frantic, that we would not get discouraged. No, sir, that we can lay down like Jesus did and said, you know, you know what? The storms are going to come. That's inevitable. We might as well rest while it's here. Amen. Because you can't rest in Jesus. You can't have hope in Christ to the place that life storms do not deter you and cause you to question anything about God. I believe that today. And I say that with this. God help us in our storms. Because I realize this, There was a perfect communion between the Son and the Father. I wish we were like that. That when we get tossed around by circumstances and we begin sometimes to panic, we notice that the heart of Jesus was perfectly calm and His peaceful assurance in God's care. He could sleep with assurance and peace in a rocking boat. We have trouble on a pillow top mattress. Amen. We struggle when it ain't really rocking your boat like that. Amen. He's asleep. What's disturbing your peace? I'm telling you, you can have rest in Jesus Christ. The sailors did everything possible to keep that boat afloat. And you know it's getting bad when sailors ask a former carpenter for help. You're getting pretty bad off there. Because you know how men of their trade are men of their trade. Amen. You talk to a fisherman. He can tell you everything about fishing from his preference and perspective. Well, my granddad, oh no, that don't work. Try this. Fishermen, sometimes men, have this tendency. They know what they know, but no, here they are. Notice the panic here. And His disciples came to Him and awoke Him saying, "Lord, save us, we perish." Mark records the statement in this tense. "Master, carest not thou that we perish?" We look at this. We're drowning out here. They're saying, "Wake up, Lord." They're amazed at His apparent indifference here. The disciples were not so much convinced. This was the problem here. In doing this, they actually, I know this sounds a little hard, they were not so much convinced that the Christ who could cast out demons and the Christ who could open blinded eyes and the Christ who could multiply the healed lepers, is He a Christ that can calm my storms? They had a confidence. But can He stop this? It's easy to have confidence when God's helping everybody else. We get your own storm. You find people that used to brag a lot. They kind of say, "Look, God's helping. Thank God for grace." I've met men before, boy, they brag. I'll tell you right now, if I was facing that, I'll hold my head up, square back, and I'll tell the devil like it is. All of a sudden, you see them going through something sometimes. You say, "Brother, how you doing?" "I'm going through it." It's always different when it's in your court. I learned this a long time ago as a preacher. I don't judge somebody out of the context of their trial. Amen. And Job said it. He said, "Don't hinge everything on my words right now, friends." He said, "I'm going through it. I've got 10 dead children, a lot of dead sheep, and guess what? I'm sick in my body." My brothers and sisters, we sometimes want to judge people out of context when they're in a storm. But what about your storm and the context of your life? We need grace then. I need grace now. I need grace on the mountain. I need grace in the valley. I need grace on the seashore. I need grace in the boat. I need grace in the sunshine. I need grace when the sun's not shining. Lord, thank God for grace and grace and grace. Here it is. They're saying this. They're saying, "Lord, wake up." They're basically, they're not really convinced. But this is exactly where God wanted them to be. God wants you to the place that you realize that unless Jesus stops this storm, I can't stop it. Hear me. Unless Jesus steps in and intervenes in my trial, I can do nothing. I have ran out of human resources. It's time to wake up, Jesus. They hope that the miracle worker who heals sicknesses can handle the sea. Let me ask you a question today, brothers and sisters. Are you convinced? Are you convinced? But I'll tell you what storms of perfection does. It convinces you that God is who He says He is. I would say this today. I would not be convinced of God's greatness unless I've been through a trial. I had been convinced more and being done wrong than I've been convinced sitting there with a cup of lemonade in the easy chair. Come on. Something about stretching and trial. Something about storms in our lives. Notice this, the scene couldn't be no more dramatic. The disciples broke in on Jesus. He was asleep in the same way. Men came to Him. Can we come to Him in desperate situations? Notice this, there was the one time I read the story. There was a sea captain who said he was an atheist one day. He told everybody on the crew on his boat there. He said, "I'm an atheist and ain't nobody going to tell me different." He falls off the boat one day in a storm. He begins crying out, "Oh God, help me." They get him back on the boat and they say, "I thought you didn't believe in God." He said, "If there isn't a God, there should be with times like this." I want to tell you, brothers and sisters, He is a God for times like this. Amen. He is a God if you're on the deck of the boat or if you're swimming in the ocean. He is a God for every situation you will ever face. Let you get done wrong by family. Let you, if you get sick in body, let something happen, my friend. I'm telling you, He is a God of every single situation. My friend, many of us cry out in desperation, in sickness, disease, death, loss of a job. Marital problems may afflict different ones, but notice this, even salvation, we cry out to Him in desperation. We say, "Lord, do you care that we're drowning?" Psalms 10:1. This is what the psalmist says. "Why standest thou afar off, O Lord? Why hidest thou thy face in the times of trouble?" You know what he's saying? God, do you see me or not? Have I ever been there? How about here in Psalms 44? "Yea, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep as for the slaughter. Awake thou that sleepest." You know he's saying, "Lord, we're dying down here. It hurts. Lord, could you wake up and look?" Notice what it says in Isaiah. "Awake, awake, put on strength, O arm of the Lord. Awake in the ancient days. Was it not thou who dried up the sea and the waters of the great deep, who hath made the depths of the sea a way for the ransom to pass over?" The prophet is saying, "God, help us. We're in a situation." I've been there to where I knew God was able. But I wanted to know that He could calm the sea. I wanted to feel the peace in my own life. Well, notice the reply here. This is important here. And this is Jesus when they woke Him up. And He saith unto them, "Why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith?" Can you imagine? Maybe some of the disciples, "You've got to be kidding me. Lord, this is a big storm. And you're saying I've got little faith? You're saying, look at this, notice this. Why are you fearful? Really? We're going to die. We're going to drown. Why?" He said, "Why are you fearful?" Notice this. I just picture this in my mind. The boat is almost full of water. And He's saying, "Why are you all worried about that for?" You get a diagnosis from the doctor, you're going to die. "Lord, where are you at? Why are you so fearful, son?" Isn't that extreme? But you can have that confidence. I'm trying to encourage you, church, that this is something that is attainable. I'm not saying in your own strength, but I'm saying by His Spirit. I'm saying by His Word. I'm saying by faith that you can have an overcoming confidence in the Lord. And Lord, help me. Notice this. With the word study here, the Greek word, when He says you're fearful, it translates, "Why are you being so cowardly?" That's a little hard, isn't it? "Why are you being a coward for, Peter? What are you talking about, Lord? I'm dipping water off the boat." I tell you, Jesus said that not out of anger. He said it out of a heart of wanting them to be convinced. Look, friends, you may be here today and you're pelling water out your boat. And you feel the rain hitting you in the face. And you hear the thunder and you see the lightning. But oh, you woke Jesus up and you're asking Him, "Why are you sleeping when we're going through this?" He's looking at you and says, "Guess what? You can have confidence that you're going to come through this. I've done healed a leper. Where's your faith?" I'm saying this out of love, church. You know this. I look at this and must understand this. That Revelations 21:8 talks about that cowardly. It could even be a sin if it prevails in your life. Mark records Jesus saying this. "How is it that you have no faith?" No faith. Why don't you? That's a lot to say. I know that. But no, I want you to know this is what the Holy Ghost showed to my heart. I've never read this, but it came to my heart. There's two storms on one sea. You have the natural storm and the conditions all around. But there's another storm that's going on, and it's in the heart of the disciples. And both of them must be calmed. Amen. But I'll tell you this, before God can calm your circumstances, He's got to calm your heart. Before God can calm the natural storm, He's got to calm your heart. Look at John 14. Let not your hearts be troubled. He said, look, you can believe on God. Believe also in me, my brothers. Guess what? Yes, you've got circumstances. I know that they're real. I've got circumstances. You've got circumstances. The church has circumstances. But I'm telling you, He's saying, look, get your heart calm. Because look, if you trust in me with an unfailing faith, I am your Lord, your Savior, and your Deliverer. Calm your heart this morning. The winds are blowing in the heart. Notice this. We notice the disciples were basically, or in a sense, they wouldn't say this, but their hearts were worrying about the care and the ability to help them. Their response surprised Jesus in this, because they had seen Him perform all the kinds of miracles. He has cast out the demons with only a word. He was healing all that were sick. If the disciples didn't know He cared for human suffering, they were blind. And if they didn't think He had the power to help them, they were ignorant, my friend. There was power there. Jesus was not diminished. Isn't it amazing how we can see a demonstration of God's love and power, but in circumstances we tend to forget about them? We tend to do that. But God isn't mad at us. He loves us. You know how many times I've had the Lord deal with my heart? Pray through about it. But Lord, I don't get it. I know you don't. Pray about it. When I get down to pray, I hear these words: peace be still. And a calmness. In that calmness, you know what I can hear? The voice of God. Some of you are struggling to hear the voice of God because of the storm in your heart is so loud that He wants to quiet your spirit. The disciples finally did learn later on about this. But notice, let's move forward here. Notice the power, which is beautiful. And He arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. Notice this. In Mark 4:39 says this, that Jesus stood up and commanded the storm to be silent. When you study this in context, instantly there was a great calm. Notice this. Anytime there's a storm and the winds cease to blow, it always takes a little while for the sea or the lake to calm down. You ever heard of a wake before? They'll tell you, if you ever got in a boat or anything, you'll see that buoy sitting out there. It says, look, no wake. Or they'll tell you, look, the waves are high today. Can you imagine that when Jesus said, look, peace be still, He rebuked the winds, He commanded the winds to stop. The Bible says there was a great calm. I like picturing it this way. Preach it the way you want to. It was like Lake Placid, buddy. It was like the wind never blew. Quit blowing. Quit that storm. Cease. Stop it. I'm telling you, that's the power of the words of Jesus. Look, it doesn't always take 6 months. It doesn't always take 2 months to calm your heart. No, He could speak the words to you this morning and you can leave here in the confidence of God. It can be instant relief. Felt that go up and down my backbone. Some of you need instant relief in your heart today. I feel the confirmation of the Holy Ghost just saying that. Some of your hearts need it now. You've wrestled with the wave. You've toiled with the sails. You've sat there and you've done everything in your ability. You're not doubting God, but God's waiting for you to doubt yourself. He's waiting for you to say, look, I can't do it. He's waiting for you to say, I don't have the power. He's waiting for you to go to the boat and say, look, Jesus, can you wake up? He might say to you, why didn't you come to me a month ago? I'd have stopped it then. You've got to wake me up. You're not the answer, Peter. I don't care how long you've been on the boat. I don't care how good you are at piloting this ship. I'm telling you, turn loose of the sail and let the Holy Ghost today come in your life and give you peace. That's what God wants to do for you today. We look at this and notice this, and this is so important right here. He calmed it. But notice their view of Jesus after the storm. Now this is the part. This is the key right here to your victory today. And forever in your life, this is the key. You ready? Your view of God is going to affect the view of your storm. Hear me. Notice this. But the men marveled, saying, "What manner of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey him?" Notice what it says in the parallel in Mark's account. It says that the storm came and that the disciples were fearful. Notice what they say in verse 41 of Mark chapter 4. And when Jesus stopped the storm, they feared exceedingly. Put it this way. They feared the storm when they were in it. But guess what? When they got on the other side of that, Brother Glenn, their fear of Jesus was greater than their fear of the storm. But notice the difference. They fear the storm because it's destructive. They fear Jesus because, look, He's God. Amen. He has the power. He has my interest. And that today, my brother, is the key in your life. Do you know that you know what's more fearful than being in a storm? It's when you realize you're standing in the presence of a living God. I dare you today, take your little storm and lay it beside the Almighty. And I tell you, your view of God will be so greater that you'll forget about the winds. You'll forget about your problems. You're going to forget about the hurt. You forget about the pain. All you can see is God, and it'll leave no room for nothing else. Isaiah's hurting. Uncle Uzziah is dead. All I can see is Uncle Uzziah laying there in that casket. It hurts. What's the answer? To get your mind off Uncle Uzziah, Isaiah. Won't you go to the house of God? And I saw the Lord. Amen. Who's Uncle Uzziah? I done forgot about him. Amen. You get a vision of God, you'll forget about every ailment. You forget about it. I'm saying you've got to maintain that in your life. That you know this, and my God's bigger than anything. Because, hear me today, brothers, because I'm not trying to be cold. I'm saying this. Because when you really get a glimpse of God like you should, regardless of the circumstances, they may not always change, but you know if you're in the hands of Him, that everything's going to be all right. I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, our glimpse of God affects our glimpse of the storm. As my wife gets ready to come to the piano, when you behold God in your storm and after your storm, this is what God's wanting to do in your life. Give me your attention just for a few more moments. My advice to you: how can you sleep in your storm? You ready? I hope some of you get some good rest after this spiritually. How can you sleep in your storm? Number one, they had a promise. They were going to the other side. Brothers and sisters, you've got a promise that if you stay on this boat with Jesus, no matter what happens, you're going to make it. I promise you that. You said, Brother Aaron, what about the winds? Don't worry, the boat's okay. Look, the boat, it's going to make it. You notice this. Jesus had to get to the other side and cast demons out. He's going to get there. It doesn't matter what comes in His way. He's going to do the will of God. But notice this. Notice here. If you know you have a promise from God, you're going to make it. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Do you believe that? How do you react in your storm? Shows us. That doesn't mean God won't help you and empower you and give you strength and give you grace to make it. Yes. Has there been times in my life I needed God's grace in a storm to remind me? You best believe it. And I'm never going to be proud enough to say I won't need it in the future. I need them now. Amen. But I'm learning more and more that Jesus is faithful. Number two, second guarantee you have is this: the Lord Himself was with them. What are you afraid of? You've got a promise. Now you have the Savior. And Peter, you're worried about this going down and Jesus drowning and floating to the bottom of the ocean. It's going to be all right. Notice this third thing. Finally, they could see that Jesus was perfectly at peace. Guess what? If He's at peace, I can be at peace. That's my hope. He said, Brother Derek, what about all this is going on in America? Guess what? God's not one bit wringing His hands, I promise. I guarantee God's not up there and say, man, they got us this time, boys. No. He's at perfect peace. You have a destination. You're going to get to the other side. You have a Savior. He's in the boat with you. And finally, guess what? We have Jesus in there. And guess what? You've got to get a vision of who Jesus is. He's got to calm the storm of your heart. And guess what? He'll begin to work on your circumstances. Peace be still. If you would stand to your feet all over this church. I felt my heart to preach this so strongly to you, church. A woman said to D.L. Moody, I have found a wonderful promise in the Bible. And she quoted Psalms 56 and 3. What time should I be afraid? I will trust in Thee. D.L. Moody looked back at her and said, let me give you a better one, sister. And Moody quoted Isaiah 12 and 2. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. You know what he did there to that lady? He says, look, don't focus on yourself at all. He's our salvation.